Acts chapter 8, verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Now, it's difficult for me to exactly tell you what that looked like, because I don't know if that's just, you know, the Spirit of God speaking to him. It doesn't say the Spirit of God, does it? It says the angel of God. So was it a messenger? Was it, you know, an angel looks like a man. We always think of an angel as having wings. That's teraphim and seraphim, cherubim, you know. But when we look at an angel, that's a messenger of God. And it said the angel of God spake unto Philip, told him, "Rise, go toward the south to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert." Now, Philip is serving God. He's preaching. He's serving. He wants to make a difference. He's evangelizing. He wants to share Jesus. And the angel says to Philip, "I want you to go down toward Gaza," and that's a desert place. Now, how many people would you like to reach in your lifetime for Jesus? A bunch, all right? Like hundreds, thousands, millions? I mean, if right now one of the three or all of the networks came to you and said, "We're going to give you 5 minutes to give any message you want to give," would you take that 5 minutes to tell people about the Savior? And wouldn't that be quite an opportunity to potentially reach millions of people at one time? Not to mention the, you know, replay of that clip. Millions at one time. Boy, you say, that's a great opportunity. I'm going to prepare for that. I'm going to be ready for that. I'm going to do that because that's a great opportunity to reach millions for Jesus. The angel of the Lord said to Philip, "I want you to go to a desert. Nobody's there. Why do you want me to go to the desert? Nobody's in the desert." Guys, the mindset that we get sometimes is that we have to tell God what to do so that we can help him help us. Trust me, God knows more than we do. He knows better than we do. He knows better for us and about us than we know about ourselves. And so if the Lord leads you, if you feel that moving of God in your spirit that says, "Go here, go there, do this, do that, say this, say that," or just hush, believe God when he gives you instruction. And so he didn't negotiate. He didn't resist. When God leads us, we need to go. God has a purpose. If we've surrendered to him, we just need to trust him. We just need to go. So God sent him, look, to reach one man. One man. I find the most effective evangelism, the most effective way to reach people is one at a time. You see, because if we could get one-on-one time and just they can see the sincerity of our heart, they can see the sincerity of our composure, they can sense the sincerity in our words, in our tone, and they know that we're not doing it to impress anybody, not because it's our job, not because we're supposed to, but because we want to reach them for Christ. We want them to be born again. It's the most effective way. One-on-one conversation. Not many. Just one. By the way, not even a Jew. And I know by this time there's, you know, some idea that we should take the gospel beyond, but really not so much. Still, at this point, we're still just trying to reach Jews, right? God sends Philip not to a Jew, but to an Ethiopian. One man. By the way, he had a good career, this Ethiopian eunuch. Didn't have a family. He had a career. He had respect. He was an honest man. He was well trusted. A man of character and reputation. In fact, the Bible says he had been to Jerusalem. Let's look at it. "He arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. He had charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem for to worship." So here is someone who is searching for life's answer. Searching for God. So much so that he left Ethiopia and traveled all the way to Jerusalem to hear about God, to understand, to hope to learn about God and heaven and eternity and about his own soul. And he's traveled to Jerusalem, and now he's on his way back. On his way back to Ethiopia. You know why? He hadn't found it in Jerusalem. Let me assure you of something. Just because you come to church or go to a church doesn't mean you're going to find what you need. But if we are searching for salvation, and then we hear the gospel presentation, and we call out to God from our heart to God's heart and say, God, I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and I know Jesus died for me. And I accept Jesus as my Savior and ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to you. Then you will leave with Jesus. Just, you know, there's lots of churches today that are open and they're not presenting the gospel. They got lots of solutions, but people don't need solutions so much as they need a Savior. And once we have a Savior, then we can work on solutions. And so, this man has gone to Jerusalem in search of God, and he's on his way home without God. He got a Bible, he's got a scroll, he's got scriptures. He's reading those scriptures in the back of the chariot on the way home. But he still doesn't have what he needs. And God chooses one man, Philip. There's nobody in that desert except those that are maybe traveling back to their homes from Jerusalem. And there's no one there that the Ethiopian can look out to or call on. God sends Philip, one man. Has God ever said, don't raise your hand, has God ever given you a burden about something? Maybe he said, go to the nursing home or go to the hospital or call your friend or loved one or reach out to this one or talk to this one at work about Jesus. God ever given you a burden or led you to do something like that? Once he called on that one person. Let me ask you a question. What if Philip said, I don't have time? What if Philip said, not today? What if Philip said, I'll do it another time? What if Philip said, can't you send somebody else? Because I have a feeling that's what a lot of people do when it comes to the work of God. And the reason I say that is because there's a lot of God's work that's going undone when God's got a whole church full of people that he's called to do the work. He sent one man to reach one man. Bible says in verse 28, he was returning and sitting in his chariot. He read Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit said unto Philip, now this is an inner voice, right? Go near, join thyself to his chariot. Philip ran there to him. He's talking about, that's eager, isn't it? Y'all run into church this morning? He ran there to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said to him, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? Whoa, that's powerful, isn't it? I go back to this, and I think last time we went through this text, I said the same thing. There are lots of people who say that when you're leading someone to Christ, you shouldn't help them with their prayer. If they don't know how to pray, how are they going to pray if you don't help them? We've got to help them with their prayer. We've got to give them guidance and leadership so that they can be saved. And they call it, now look, I know there was a publican and the Pharisee that entered into the temple, and the one lifted up his eyes, and out of the corner of his eye he saw that publican, and he said, God, I'm thankful I'm not as rotten as that guy is. And the publican would not so much as lift his eyes up to heaven, but he smote himself on his breast and said, God, have mercy to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went to his house justified. So yes, your prayer could be simple. It doesn't have to be exactly what I say it is, but we have to express to God our repentance, that we're turning from our wickedness, we're turning from sin, and we're turning to God, and we realize that we need forgiveness of our sins. We've got to express that in some way, accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. How can I understand it except some man should guide me? Look at what he says here. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. You know who the guide me is? That's us. We're the ones. And then look at that next part. The Ethiopian desired that Philip would come. There are people out there who desire a sit down. They want to understand Jesus. They want to understand eternity. They want to understand salvation. But no one will take the time to just sit down with them and show them in the scriptures what the Bible says about eternity and salvation. He desired, look, guys, we say, well, I don't want to talk about Jesus. I don't want anybody to feel like I'm beating them over the head with the Bible. Well, then don't beat them over the head with the Bible. Just tell them about Jesus. But they want somebody. They're hungry for somebody. Again, maybe they're not going to do it in the break room at work with everybody around. But if you could get alone off to the side and have a conversation, they're probably hoping you will. And when we'll take those opportunities to talk to people about Jesus, they'll get saved. Now, look, I know I talk to people about the Lord, and sometimes they change the subject quickly. Even one-on-one, that's going to happen. But when they want to know about the Lord, do they know who to call? Yeah. We've got to let them know they can call on us when they're ready. I wonder how many of our friends are searching, hoping for someone to teach them what the Bible says. This man had traveled a long way in his search for God. Look at verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Who's the subject of the text? Oh, what an opportunity, huh? What an opportunity. And the answer, verse 35, Jesus. Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Isaiah. Is that what it says in your Bible? No. He preached unto him Jesus. We can find Jesus in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, got me on that one, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Did I miss any? I don't know. And Matthew to Revelation, we'll just put it that way. It's all about him. In fact, if we read it with understanding, we see how it's about his relationship with him and me, you and God. That's what it's all about. Now, he uses other people, and the analogies and the metaphors and the illustrations are all there. But we find Jesus in our relationship with God is all through that book. Of whom speaketh he? And Philip preached unto him Jesus. Verse 36, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? You know what? When he was preaching to him Jesus, what was one of the topics of preaching Jesus? Baptism. Why? Because baptism represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, as we look at Romans chapter 6, he's speaking of being baptized, that we are buried with him in the likeness of his death, risen to walk in newness of life. That's what baptism is. And this eunuch got so excited as he listened to this that he said, I want to get baptized. I want to give my life. I want to show everybody. I'm serious about this. Show everybody. There was only him and Philip and the driver, right? There wasn't a whole bunch of people there. Look, it doesn't have to be a public display. It just has to be a personal surrender. And one of the things I wanted to bring out here in verse 36, as they went on their way. Which way are they going? South, toward Ethiopia. I mean, he caught them south toward Gaza, but the train's headed to Ethiopia. And you know what? Philip is along for the ride. He didn't say, well, hey, can we just stop here? Because I don't want to get too far away from home. God, we've got to leave convenience out of it when it comes to serving God. We've got to surrender our hearts. This journey carried Philip further from home and took his time, but Philip's only priority was to surrender to God, to serve God, to do what God sent him there to do. And Philip said, yeah, of course you can get baptized. Is that what he said? No, that's not what he said. He said, before I can baptize you, I got to know you're saved. You see, we don't baptize babies because babies cannot express faith. We'll baptize a child when the child can make his own decision that he believes in Jesus. But we can't baptize a 2-year-old because mom and daddy want it done. Or even a 5-year-old because mom and daddy want it done. And I would discourage baptizing a 30-year-old because mama and daddy want it done. It's got to be a personal expression of faith. I believe. Philip said, do you believe? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Verse 37. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe. Verse 38, he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. I was reading a book this week, and you know, sometimes you read a book, and it says things that you've never heard before. And this book said that baptism, as we know it, in the New Testament, was not the dipping that we have. It was a dipping of the individual walking in the water and dipping himself down in the water. And I thought, well, that's curious. Because what did you see here? I see that Philip went down into the water and baptized him. The two of them went into the water, and the two of them came out of the water. John the Baptist, same way with Jesus, he went down in the water. Well, the book says John the Baptist stood on the shore, and Jesus went down and dipped himself in the water. Let me tell you the problem with that. The problem with that is, though that may have been the pattern of the Jewish mitzvah, right, the ceremonial bathing or cleansing, where they would go dip themselves before they went into service in the temple, or when a Gentile wanted to convert to Judaism, they could, of course, the circumcision, but also they would do the mitzvah. So that may have been the ceremonial Old Testament way of what became baptism. But I see in the New Testament, the example of baptism is not John dipping some water in his hand and putting it on your head, but taking and immersing, a burial, if you will, and a resurrection. That's what it represents. That's what it's about. And here again, we have that example. Philip, it didn't say, and the Ethiopian baptized himself. Does that say that in your Bible? So while we're reading and learning and hearing, we do have to come back and say, what does the Bible say? The Bible doesn't say that. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. This man went from Ethiopia to Jerusalem in search of God, but he didn't find it when he got to the temple. And he's on his way home, not completely discouraged, still in the Scriptures, still searching the Scriptures, trying to find that answer, trying to find the fulfillment that he sought. And there's a man on the side of the road. Here's the Ethiopian riding in his chariot, and he looks over, and here's Philip. Running next to him. stops the chariot. Philip says, I hear you reading Isaiah. He said, man, I don't understand it. I need somebody to help me. Come on up in here and help me. And Philip got up in there and off they went in the chariot. And you know, it wasn't long till the Ethiopian eunuch said, I understand now. Going to church does not make it happen. But once he had an understanding of how to be saved, he expressed his faith. I believe. And then he surrendered himself to baptism. Finally, it says in verse number 39, at the end, it says, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. You know, I believe when the eunuch got home to Ethiopia, he still had a pep in his step. I believe he still had the joy in his heart. I believe he still was excited about being saved. When he got back to Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, and she said, how was your trip? He wanted to tell her about the journey home where he found Jesus. He was excited about that. Let me ask you a question. Do you still have the thrill of your salvation? When somebody comes and asks, or you find yourself in a conversation that directs it that way, where you feel it is certain that God is leading you to share the gospel, is it very structural? Or does something change? Can people sense the joy that you have for Jesus? Or is it mechanical? Well, if you'll bow your head and pray. Or is it, let me tell you about my Jesus. Because there are people out there searching. They've been to church. They've even read the scriptures. But they still don't have the Savior. And how are they going to know except we should guide them? Let's make a commitment to God today that we're going to guide them, that we're going to help them in their search so they can have the fulfillment of the Lord in them. Would you stand? God, we love you so much. We realize that the reason you have us here is to challenge us and inspire us, and God, to give us that enthusiasm to go out and share the hope and the love and the forgiveness. Lord, this morning, we lay ourselves before you and say, do your work in us. Take us where you'd have us to go. Join us to the ones that need us. And keep us as long as they're needed. That souls will be saved, that lives will be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. This is your opportunity. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I want to get saved. I need Jesus. Well, you can pray where you are. Say, God, I need you. I surrender myself to you. I need you. I ask you to save my soul and forgive my sins. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're already saved, but you say, what does hinder me to be baptized? Oh, we're ready when you are. If you're ready to make that decision to follow the Lord in baptism, whatever's on your heart this morning, don't leave without having that need met. Let God do his work in you today. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Tonight, Rudy Holland is going to be with us, 6 o'clock. Hope you'll be here for that as we go to the Lord in prayer. I'll ask Brother Andy Keel to dismiss us, please.